guys, and welcome back to another week with your chronically online internet bestie, Jackie. Hope you've all had a beautiful weekend past. I know it's Wednesday now, but I'm recording this on a Monday, so it was just the weekend for me. I had a relatively chill weekend. I went out for drinks with my friends on Friday night, which was really nice. It was one of those nights where you're sort of like, oh yeah, let's go like get drinks and have dinner. And like, it'll be really like fun to sit outside, enjoy the sunshine, chill, classy vibe. And then we all ended up getting blackout drunk. Sometimes those are the best nights though, because it's sort of not planned. I feel like that always happens. Whenever you plan for something, you don't have fun, like New Year's Eve, what other events, like, I don't know. When there's something you've planned for, it's never that good. When it's unplanned though, it's the best. No, I don't know why, it works that way. What else did I do over the weekend? I woke up on Saturday morning severely hungover. It's the worst feeling ever. And because we were drinking wine, I feel like a wine hangover has to be one of the worst hangovers you could possibly have. So I was feeling very dusty on Saturday. Just did a bit of housework. Finally did all the laundry. Do you remember how I told you guys in for 2024 was doing the laundry straight away? I haven't been doing that. It's been sitting there just in a huge pile. And I just stare at it every day. And then like I'll do more laundry and it'll add to it. Or I'll put it in another like laundry basket and there'll be like 10 different laundry baskets. Or I'll just leave it hanging on the line for like days at a time. It's doing that right now as we speak though. But I did catch up on all the stuff that was in the baskets. So I was very proud of myself. I was like, do you know what? Just put a song on, put an album on, head down, put all the washing away. You'll feel accomplished. And I did. And I got it done. So I'm proud of myself for that. Also, over the weekend, this is going to be my recommendation for the week. Ariana Grande, Eternal Sunshine. I have so many thoughts. I have so many feelings. I just have been waiting for this album to drop for so long. I was watching the countdown. Like they had like a countdown on Spotify of when the album was going to drop, like hours, minutes, days, whatever. And I was watching it on the Friday. I think it came out on Friday. I was watching it on Friday and I kept checking it and I was so excited. And then it must have dropped and I just forgot. I don't know how this happened, but I remembered and I was just like, oh my God, it's out. So I listened to it. But I feel like the first time I listen to a new album, like I don't really concentrate too much because I'm sort of just trying to like listen to all the songs so that I can be like, okay, like I've listened to them all. Weird. And the first time I listened to it, she has like two songs that are sort of like little interludes. Like one's like an intro and then there's one song that's like a quick little in-between palate cleanser. And I was like not really into it. I was like, I don't know about these weird interludes. Now, after listening to the album so many times, it's safe to say that I'm obsessed with it and I totally see her vision. I totally get it. And I'm on board for these little interludes. So I thought I would talk to you guys about my favorite tracks. If you don't want to hear about Ariana Grande, maybe skip this because I'm going to talk about this for a little bit. Ariana Grande is literally like one of my favorite artists. I am so beyond obsessed with her. Like I can't even fully explain to the degree of how much I love this woman. Let me just take you on a journey of me and Ariana Grande. First of all, I always loved her music, but I was never like a huge Ariana stan, like when I was younger. But when I was going through a really difficult time in my life, like me and my ex broke up and it was just like a really toxic relationship. It wasn't fun. We had the shittest breakup ever. And that was when Sweetener came out. And I just remember so many songs on Sweetener helped me through that time in my life. Like, you know, if you know Sweetener, you know the songs like Breathing, Every Time, No Tears Left to Cry, Better Off, Good Night and Go. Like these songs, like they genuinely spoke to me. Like music had never spoken to me before. Like I'm not sure if I was just not listening to lyrics. You know how some people say they just like listen to a song and they like the beat and they like how it sounds? That used to be me. I would just like listen to songs and then not really interpret the meaning behind the songs. But then when Sweetener came out, I felt like I could relate to so many of her songs that I finally got what people were saying when they say they like relate to music, and it made them feel some type of way, because Sweetener made me feel so many feelings and emotions and just helped me through such a bad time in my life. Like, I would just sing these songs at the top of my lungs. It was the best. And then Thank You Next came out. Like, that was her next album after Sweetener. And that was sort of like her comeback, you know, bad bitch energy, like, fuck you all type era. And that was sort of like in line with how I was feeling emotionally too. So it just like worked out so well. So I literally, I don't know, like, I just feel so strongly towards that whole era in my life and how much her music really helped me through it. 100% helped me get out of some of the darkest days. And so the cloud tattoo I have on my back, if you have seen it, it's for Ariana Grande, because she got me through some of the worst days ever and got me through one of the hardest periods of my life. And I just have loved her ever since. And so when Eternal Sunshine was about to come out, I was just so excited because she is the best and I love her so much. So I thought we could just go through my favorite songs, because I don't know, you might be interested. So I love Don't Want to Break Up Again. It's a hit. Then I love the Saturn Returns interlude into Eternal Sunshine. I really want to get someone on the podcast who knows about like astrology and all of that type of stuff to talk about Saturn Returns, because if you don't know what a Saturn Returns is, basically it's when where Saturn is. Honestly, do not quote me on this because I'm not too sure, but I remember reading a bit about it when I felt like I was going through my Saturn Returns, because everybody goes through a Saturn Returns. It happens every like roughly 29 years, and it's like where when Saturn comes back to the place it was when you were born, I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me. It's very interesting though, if you want to like read about it, definitely do, because I felt like I went through mine when I first moved to Perth. I was at such a crossroads in my life and everything felt like it was sort of different. I couldn't really pinpoint what or why I was feeling a certain way. I had so many changes in like who I was as a person, how I felt as a person, how I thought as a person. And then I remember Googling it because I was genuinely confused. I was like, am I going through a midlife crisis? Because that's the only thing I could sort of like think about that I've heard of in the past that people go through. Like, when they have like a big change, it's like a midlife crisis or something like that. Or not like a crisis, but I felt like I just didn't really understand what was going on or who I was. And I was changing and I was going through so many different changes in my life. And the Saturn Returns thing came up and I was so interested in it. I actually listened to Kagi Dunlop's podcast. I'm pretty sure her podcast is called Saturn Returns. Maybe. Let me quickly check, because yeah, Saturn Returns with Kagi. And if you know Kagi, she's from Made in Chelsea, like very first season. Obsessed with her, love her. And I love her podcast. And she talks to people about their Saturn Returns. So if you need a podcast rec, definitely listen to hers. I love it. So yes, that is why I love that song. And I don't know, it just sort of made me feel those feels again. You know what I mean? And then, oh, my phone is just triggering me today. I don't know what's going on with it. It's like, will not. Anyway, next one that I love is Supernatural. Honestly, I love them all. I keep seeing people talk about it on TikTok saying it's like a no-skip album, and I totally agree. It's literally a no-skip album. It's so good. Supernatural, love that one. Then I already loved Yes And, but I'm not going to include that in like my favorite tracks because I feel like there's other ones that have taken over now. Then I love We Can't Be Friends, Wait For Your Love. If you haven't watched the video clip, you need to watch the video clip. I literally sobbed. I weeped. I'm a massive, what is it? I'm a major weeper, if you know. It's from The Holiday. I love that. And the whole, the video clip, it's just like, it breaks your heart, but it's so beautiful. And she's just so good at like explaining how she feels within a song and then a video, and I just love her so much. And then I love I Wish I Hated You It's so beautiful, so moving. There's one part where she literally, like, her voice cracks as she's saying, "I wish I hated you." And I was basically sitting in bed with my headphones on, maxed out volume, listening to this album over and over and over again on Saturday night, just crying. It's just like therapeutic. It was really quite good. I feel like I needed it. And I haven't stopped listening to the album since. And I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Even if you're not an Ariana Grande fan, I feel like this album is just pure genius. It's amazing. And I love it. And I love her. And I'm going to stop talking about it now because I feel like I've been talking about it for like 15 minutes. I could do a whole podcast on Ariana Grande. I honestly could. So this week, I didn't really know what to do for a topic. So I thought I would just talk about random things I've been thinking about. I always like write down on my phone a bunch of random things that have come into my mind that week. And so we're going to talk about them. First thought that I've had this week is that I've just been in a horrible mood. I don't know, like I get this thing before I get my period where I'm just like in a foul mood, and it could be like one day. There's usually like one day a month where I just know that I'm angry for some reason, like no reason in particular. Like I just feel irritated within myself. The smallest things will piss me off. For example, even this morning when I was getting ready to come here, I was just doing my makeup and my makeup like wasn't blending into my skin properly, and it was really triggering me, like more than it should trigger anyone ever. Like that's such a minor inconvenience to anyone's life, but it was triggering me so much. Oh my God, I can't even explain. Then I'll just do something and I'll trip over and I'll get so angry and I just feel like this intense rage. It's so bad, but I've Googled it and it's apparently there is this thing called PMDD. And it basically is like I should have Googled what it actually is, but it's the feeling you get before you get your period and around when you have your menstrual cycle, and you're just like angry and I can't explain it. Like it's just the worst feeling ever. And I actually feel crazy when it happens, but I know that it'll happen, and then like 2 days later I'll get my period and I'll be like, oh, that's why I was a raging bitch. It's genuinely the worst. And I really want to go, well, I am going to go to the doctor and get, I don't know if you can get tested for it, or I don't know how it works exactly, but I do need to go to the doctor because I have been saying like pretty much this whole year that I'm going to get my mental health plan. I'm going to start going to the psychologist again, but have I done it? No. Is it March? Yes. Am I lazy? Yes. Do I avoid doing anything health related? Yes. So annoying. Also over the weekend, I know this like person is quite controversial in people's eyes. Shane Dawson, like I feel like he got cancelled. I'm not going to get into what it was. You can look it up because I don't even know what happened. But I love his conspiracy theory series on YouTube. Always have, always will. I love conspiracy theories, even though they completely spiral me and make me so anxious. He just released 2 new videos this past week about conspiracy theories, and I watched them over the weekend. Nathan was out. Oh my God, I don't know why I do this to myself. I get so scared watching things, and then I choose to watch something scary like this when Nathan's not in the house. Make it make sense. I'm not sure why. It's self-sabotage. But anyway, in one of the videos, he was talking about how Generation Alpha, which is like the babies of right now, are aging quicker than any other generation because of blue light, which is on your phones, iPads, like any technology, there's blue light. And because these babies are growing up pretty much from a very early age with iPads in their face, their skin is aging at a rapid rate. My mind was blown because I have obviously heard about blue light before, and I know you can get like blue light glasses to protect your eyes. I didn't know that it affects your skin. Like, just one more thing to add to the list of stressing about. I don't know, like that's so crazy, especially for me because I'm on my phone 24/7. My job is my phone. my job is a computer. I'm constantly staring at a screen, and now I've just heard that apparently blue light ages you. I'm spiraling. And can you even wear sunscreen to protect yourself from blue light? Like, I don't think you can. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I also, on the same video, he was talking about how humans are going to be like when we start to evolve, which also is seriously crazy that humans evolve. But our brains are going to be smaller, our heads are going to be bigger, we're going to have like claws to like hold devices, our back is going to be like fully keeled over because we're constantly looking down on our phones, and like our neck is going to be like just, no, we're going to be so ugly. It's seriously disgusting. Definitely watch this documentary if you want to. There's a bit at the end, it's like a YouTube series, sorry. There's a topic that he talks about at the end that seriously sent me spiraling. I don't even want to talk about it on the podcast because I get so scared. And he even said that like some people that have spoken about it have disappeared. And that makes me so anxious. I can't believe stuff like that happens. Like, I don't, honestly, I can't, but I was fully spiraling. And as I said, Nathan was out, and then Nathan got home and like hadn't texted me saying that he was like coming home. And I heard all these noises outside, and then I was getting so scared. I was like, oh my God, I've watched the documentary, like they're coming after me. But it was just Nathan. I was like, oh my God, you scared the shit out of me. Why would you do that? So rude. And then what else do I have written down here? I wrote this down late last night when I was having one of my nightly spirals. I was just thinking how crazy like the human mind is, because I was thinking back to my parents' house in Melbourne and like the house I grew up in, and I was just thinking about it, like imagining the whole house, and you can obviously picture the whole house in your mind. That noise is sending me. Yeah, I can picture the house in my mind, and then I can go even one step further. Oh, this is why I thought of this. So I listen to these sleep stories when I go to bed, and basically they're just boring stories where the lady will talk about something super boring and just try to take your mind off the racing thoughts you get when you're going to sleep. She was talking about walking to a cottage in the woods. And the way she was describing it, for some reason, it made me think about this cubby house that we had at my parents' house growing up that was just like a wooden kid's cubby house. And I just got to thinking about how crazy it is that your brain can remember certain memories so strongly. For example, with this one, I can picture my parents, the cubby house, and I haven't been there for years. I've been to my parents' house, but they lived on a really big property and the cubby house was nowhere near the actual house. So I just hadn't visited the cubby house. However, in my head, I could picture it all perfectly. Then I got to thinking about how crazy it is that I can remember sounds from my parents' house, like the front door opening. I can imagine the sound of my dad walking down the hallway. I can picture my, like, hear my mom. I can hear certain doors closing, drawers in the kitchen opening, like so many specific things you could fully imagine and hear. And I was just thinking how crazy the brain is that you can remember things like that. You know how certain people can, well, I've been like this my whole life. I could pick someone's walk, like from my family, I would know who it is coming down the hallway before I saw them. I just have always been able to do that. But I thought it was so crazy that I can fully remember certain sounds from the house. I can picture it in my mind so fondly and strongly. And I was like, I hope this never goes away, because it's so cool that I can remember and almost do like a little walkthrough tour of the house. And I'm not even there. It's so crazy. I just wanted to talk about that because I thought it was seriously wild. Okay, now we're going to do a Q&A because I, as I said, couldn't think of a topic for this week. I just didn't have the bandwidth to like, I am going to be doing a whole episode on my anxiety and OCD and everything. I just need to properly sit down and write out the episode so I don't just ramble, and I want to make sure that I get everything down. So this week I just thought, let's do Q&A because it's nice to just rattle off some questions. Someone said, talk about conspiracy theories. I really want to do this, but as I've just said, like, for some reason I'm scared because what if they come for me? Like, who? I don't know. What if they do? But if you have any conspiracy theories you want me to discuss or that I can research, let me know, because I would love to do an episode on conspiracy theories. I just need to research them first. Okay, first question. How did you get into social media? So I started posting on Instagram in 2011, I want to say. I think that was like, it came out sometime around then. Maybe it came out when I was in high school. I can't really remember. I finished high school in 2010. So that is showing my age. But I started posting on Instagram, I would say maybe 2012, I actually tried with the posts. Obviously, when you first start, when Instagram first began, it was mostly just like selfies, or we'd literally use Instagram as a filter. So you'd take a photo on it, and they had really cool filters in bunny ears, because they definitely weren't cool. But at the time, it was cool to have those weird Valencia filters on your photos. If you know, you know. And then I randomly just started doing this thing where I would take a photo in my boyfriend at the time's bathroom mirror, and it would be an outfit photo, and I would have my legs sort of like bent up, showing what shoes I was wearing. You know the pose, if you can picture it in your head. It's basically you're holding the phone in the mirror, and then you're holding one leg up to show your outfit, and you're sort of like leaning forward. I would do that every time I would wear an outfit, and they just started getting a little bit of traction, not heaps, but a little bit. Then I remember I went and bought a pair of shoes from Winsor Smith. If you know, you know, the ones that were those like sandals that were like sort of, I can't really explain them, but if you know the ones, they had like a heel and they were really popular at the time. I posted a photo of them in the box, just like a little flat lay type thing on my Instagram, and Winsor Smith reposted it. It was back when the brands would repost your stuff. And then a bunch of their followers started following me. And then I remember I got heaps of followers from that. It was crazy. And I was like, whoa, weird. Like, people that I don't know are following me. Then I just kept doing stuff like that. I used to post heaps of flat lays. I was posting outfit photos. I also created a blog, because that was back in the days where blogs were a thing. I actually sucked at blogging though, because I'm not a very good writer. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not too good with words. And I mostly just had my blog because I liked sharing my photos. I would get my sister to take photos of me just at home in front of like our garage, very simple outfit pics. I used to shop a lot on ASOS, and I would post a lot of those outfits. And brands would just start reposting me, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. How come brands are reposting me? And then brands would reach out and say, hey, we'd love to send you this t-shirt. Or I remember ASOS reached out and was like, we'd love to give you a $150 voucher. And I was so excited. I was like, this is so cool. I can't believe I get to post photos and I'm getting now free clothes from it, and brands reaching out to me wanting to send me stuff. It was crazy. I can't even explain to you how excited I used to be. I have loved shopping from like the earliest ages ever. You can ask my parents. I was obsessed with going to the shops. I used to beg my mom to take me to the shops. I'd just like run around, go crazy. I used to love buying clothes. I kept every single tag from every single piece of clothing I ever used to buy. I would have them stuck inside my wardrobe, like all the tags just stuck up there. I kept every single bag, every single receipt. It's giving OCD. And so that's sort of how I got into it. I just was posting every single day. I would wake up and I would take... Also, when I first started doing Instagram, it was back when flat lays were a lot bigger of a thing. It wasn't so much street style. Like, I definitely did do street style photos, but the photos that did the best for me were flat lays. Shoe pics did really good for me. I remember I had a few photos that I would post when the Puma Fenty sneakers came out, and they went viral at the time, like maybe like 20,000 likes, which is, for someone that didn't have that many followers at the time, it was like crazy. And yeah, that's basically how I started. I think when I started too, it wasn't as saturated, so it was definitely a bit easier. But I was dedicated to the cause. As soon as I started getting traction, I would wake up every day. I would take a bunch of photos. I would plan out my outfits, plan out the posts I wanted to do for the week. And I really just invested a lot of my time and energy into doing that. At the time, I was also working a receptioning job and retail jobs. I really just loved fashion. I loved everything to do with it. I wanted to work retail. I wanted to be around it. I got so excited just like trying on clothes, taking photos of clothes. Honestly, I'm so lucky that I got to where I am today because fashion, I hate this so much because it rhymes and it's like the Bratstall quote, but it's like fashion is my passion and always has been. And I'm so grateful and lucky that it worked out the way it did. I have told you guys before, I really struggled in school. I never knew what I wanted to do as a job. I just didn't think that I was someone that had it in me to have a regular job. And I know that's like so rich to say, like, boo-hoo, not anyone gets to choose that. But I really struggled at school. I knew I couldn't do a job that was, I don't know how to explain it, but I just didn't really have a goal for a job. I couldn't relate to any job that I ever wanted to do. For example, my sister is a podiatrist and she knew she wanted to do that. She was really smart. She studied heaps, paid off. She's a podiatrist now. I was not like that at all. Everybody's different. Everybody has their own path, but I'm so happy and lucky and blessed that I got to where I am today because of an app, like seriously, because of Instagram, and then TikTok popped up and it was a whole different ball game. But again, I love making videos. I'm just so blessed that my job is something that I love doing. I know not everybody has that. So I count my lucky stars every single day. But if you do want to get into social media and you wanted a tip, if I had to give you a tip, it's just keep being persistent. Especially now with TikTok, I think it is such a good opportunity to like find your, I know everybody's like, find your niche and then make your videos, blah, blah, blah. But truly just be yourself. I think the thing that shows the most is when you're just trying to copy someone else or do what someone else is already doing. Like they're already doing it. No one's going to need to follow two people doing the exact same thing, if you know what I mean. So I think everything is a lot about personality nowadays too. It's less about aesthetics. It's less about being perfect. Everyone wants to see like the raw, original you, which is so good. I love that so much. I think that's why I love TikTok, because I can really be myself and have a bit more personality. Instagram is more like a pretty picture. And I guess now it's a little bit more relaxed, but back in the day it was very like my feed back in the day is criminal. I only used to post like black and white outfits. It was really hard to shoot. Like if I would be traveling and there would be like blue, I'd be like, I can't shoot. It was honestly very hectic, but I had a clear vision and I've gone through many different aesthetics, many different waves and eras, and I'm glad to be where I am now. Next question. How to know if you like someone or you're just bored? Isn't that the age-old question? I think if you like someone, what's that quote where it's like, can't eat, can't sleep, reach for the stars, blah, blah, blah. That if you're just bored and sort of dating someone, like it definitely happens. You can sort of get into like a situationship because of this, and your brain can trick you into liking someone when you don't even really like them. But I think the thing is, if you can't stop thinking about them, surely you really like them. Always make like a pros and cons list. They help so much with deciding how you feel about someone seriously. If they have heaps of cons, get them away. Or if you can't think of many pros, that's a red flag too. But if you're asking that question, how to know if you like someone or if you're bored, I'm going to say you're bored, because you wouldn't question it if you really liked them. How to deal with Pickles and his anxiety. So I didn't realize that Pickles had anxiety for the first 2 years of his life. I knew that he was a special boy, and you can tell that he's like a special boy when you meet him. He is the most pure thing on earth, and I'm just so obsessed with him. Like even thinking about him now just makes me want to cry. I love him so much. But the more research I did into why he was the way he was, I slowly started to realize that dogs. Well, I knew that dogs could have anxiety, but I didn't realize that they could be like treated for it, which is silly because obviously humans can be treated for anxiety. So why can't animals? He was just very anxious. He doesn't have anxiety, separation anxiety. If I leave the house, he's totally fine, which is a blessing. I'm so glad he's not like one of those dogs where when you leave the house, they're just constantly barking or they rip all your stuff up or they're a bit destructive or whatever it might be that they have like their little coping mechanism. He's not like that. If I leave the house, he'll just sleep. He's got anxiety in the sense where I'll be walking down the street with him and like he'll just get such a big fright about a pole or something random, or a leaf will like blow in front of his face and he'll get so scared, or a dog will bark and he'll get scared, or the postman will knock on the door and he'll go ballistic. It's that type of anxiety. So it was sort of hard to notice at first because I just thought he was just a little bit quirky. But I took him to a behaviorist. The one that I went to is called Calm Pets. Calm with a K. K-A-L-M Pets in Claremont, Perth, if anybody was interested. And basically she just knew straight off the bat, you bring your dog in with you, and she had all these toys in a crate for him to walk around the room and just play with while we were chatting. He didn't leave my side. He was quivering. He was scared of the toy basket. He's so friendly. Like, he's not scared of other dogs and stuff, but he's wary of people at first. He'll come up to you and be so excited, but if you go to pat him, he'll sort of be like, no, and like walk away. He's just like an awkward boy. And so he's on medication now for his anxiety. And we actually tried to wean him off it because he'd been on it for about a year. And then we were like, he's so much better. We've noticed such a change. He's feeling more happy. He was eating better. He's like, because when you're anxious, even as a human, you can't eat properly. You can't think properly. Your brain functions bad because you're really stressed and you're constantly in a fight or flight. So imagine that as a dog, same thing. But you can't tell anyone. It's like he wasn't eating properly, he wasn't sleeping properly, he was just stressed, like in a constant level of stress. So that's not something that I want for him. And I know a lot of people say you shouldn't put your animal on medication, it's not fair, like it's not nice. I'll tell you what's not nice: letting them be stressed every single second of the day. I don't know why people have such a stigma against medication. Even some people have it against humans taking anxiety medication. It's a literal brain like dysfunction. Like, anxiety is like, it's a literal chemical imbalance. You can't fix that by just being like, let me just not be anxious for 1 second. Like, let me pull it together. Pickles, pull yourself together and stop being anxious. Like, it doesn't work like that. So whatever I could do for him to make him less anxious, of course I'm gonna do it. The initial appointment, if anyone's wondering, I think was maybe $300. And then the medication is like $20 for a couple of months. It's not expensive and it's so worth it to me to invest into his mental health because he's so much happier now. Anyway, as I was saying, we were going to wean him off it because he was doing so well. And then basically with antidepressants, you have to wean off slowly because if you just change it, obviously it's changing your brain chemistry and it's just hectic. And then we noticed he was getting anxious again, so we just went, he's back on it now, full dosage, and he's happier than ever. And I highly recommend it. If you have an anxious animal, you will notice the change and you will feel so happy for them, because I think back to like how he was and I'm like, how did I let him be like that for so long? It's almost cruel. Okay, I'm going to do one more because I feel like I've been yapping on. And it is how to deal with feeling homesick. I am such a homebody. I love being at home. I say I'm introverted. I don't know if I teeter between the two. I'm definitely not extroverted. I don't need to hang out with people like ever. I could happily like sit in and not feel like I need to constantly have human interaction. But when I travel, I miss home so much. I miss routine so much. I miss just the simplicity of having everything you need around you and not living out of a suitcase. Living out of a suitcase makes me really anxious if it's too long. So when I have traveled, I've been in Europe for like a month and I do get so homesick. I don't even know if I get homesick for the people. I think I get homesick for pickles. I miss pickles so much. Maybe before I had him, I wouldn't have struggled as much, but now he's like all I think about. He's literally my son, my firstborn. And when I travel, I just miss him so much. And then, as I said, I miss being in routine because sometimes being out of routine throws my anxiety a little bit. So how I deal with that, honestly, I'm not sure. I think when you're away, if you have a routine, it helps, or try to be in somewhat of a routine similar to when you're at home. So if you're, when you're at home, you get up, go to the gym, then go to work. Maybe you could try to do something like that on holiday. Whereas if it's, sorry, I just stuttered. You get up, do a workout, go for a walk, listen to a podcast, do things that make you feel like you're at home. One other thing that I have started implementing when I travel now is, obviously it's hard if you're moving heaps, but unpacking your suitcase, having full access to everything you've brought, really helps to calm the mind for me personally. Living out of a suitcase, as I've said, makes me super anxious and spiral. I hate the rummaging. Packing cubes really helps with this. Get packing cubes. They really are a game changer. You have like your pants in one, your tops in one, you're going out clothes in ones, so you're not... There's literally nothing worse than a messy suitcase. It triggers me beyond everything. What else? I guess feeling homesick for me too is now because I live in another state. I definitely get homesick. I hate that I can't just like go over to my parents' house and, I don't know, have a home-cooked meal. That sort of sucks. Well, no, that definitely sucks. I miss that a lot. But just talking to people... Make sure you constantly have phone calls with your loved ones. I'm trying to think what else. Honestly, I can't think of anything right now, but just try to have like your creature comforts with you. Travel with things that make you feel like you're at home. Have a little routine, like what you do at home, whether it's a little self-care routine moment, face mask, book, podcast. Something to take your mind off the feelings, but definitely FaceTiming family, friends, just to bring you back down to earth. If I'm spiraling at any point in time, even over the weekend, when I was severely hungover on Saturday morning, I called my best friend Fee and I was just like, I need to talk to you because I'm spiraling and I'm anxious and I have a hangover. And she was like, anytime. Shout out to you, Fee, love you. But yeah, it's just those creature comforts, I think, that makes you feel like you are at home when you're not at home. Hopefully that helps. I'm going to leave it there because I've been rambling, but I love you all. Hope you have an amazing week and I will speak to you very soon. Bye.